from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yes, sir. The Derek Shelton Show, brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you, there will be soon. Derek Shelton, manager of the hottest team in the National League, 8-2 in their last 10. There's no other National League team that can say that. 9-2 in their last 11. A little tiny half game out of a wild card spot right now. Derek Shelton is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Shelty, I certainly trust you're doing well today as your team is red hot these days, but I feel like we need to take care of perhaps a budding controversy first, maybe some budding tension between you and Destiny's Child. I feel like the important stuff has to come first. Are you ready for this?
I'm definitely ready. Good afternoon first, but yeah, I'm ready. I didn't know there was... There was a feud between me and Destiny's Child.
Well, that's what we're trying to get to. So let's go back in time 3 weeks ago, or maybe 2 weeks, when Destiny's Child was innocently asked on this show when Jared Jones was coming back. This was his answer.
I will say August 14th.
That's the familiar sound of Destiny's Child. We presented that to you, and it felt like you got heightened a little bit. This was your answer.
You know, Destiny's Child thinks he's Nostradamus, so he's evidently putting a date out there.
So where are we now? We just had Destiny's Child on. He thinks things are okay. Are they okay on your end?
Between me and Destiny's Child?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't mess with a guy that wears collared shirts and khakis every day. Like, I'm not messing with that. So, I mean, number one, I was just hoping I got points for knowing who Nostradamus was. And then number two, I was just curious if Destiny's Child was a member of our performance and training staff that he was throwing out dates.
Exactly.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
What were you going to say?
I was going to say,
he
wanted to throw you an olive branch. Was that what you were?
Yeah, he did. It sounds like things are okay.
He wanted to throw you an olive branch, and by telling you that he spent the weekend in Kentucky tasting bourbon. And so he knows that you're a bourbon guy, and he said, "Well, you please tell him that, so maybe I'll get some points with him."
Does that get him
some points with you?
That gives him a ton of points with me. I'm a little disappointed that he didn't bring it up to me himself, but the fact that he did the bourbon tour now, all right. So now I got something to talk to him about and see like where we're at. I want to know the specifics. I want to know if that was the olive branch. Like, did he do that because he was throwing the olive branch out, or was that something that he did independently?
Good question, and I hope you guys can settle things and broach that today. But meantime, Shelty, you guys are making a push here, and it's been fun to watch. Where did this begin? How did it begin? What has sparked this run for you guys?
Well, I think the thing – well, overall, number one, we've done a really good job of pitching the baseball. Going back, I mean, even to the Milwaukee series, which was a really good series, we've thrown the ball really well. Our bullpen's been really consistent. But I think the thing that has stood out is doing the little things right, you know, running the bases right. We've done a better job situationally. I mean, Nick has had a couple big hits in the especially after the break. But the biggest thing is I think offensively we're doing little things which have helped us win games.
Well, and I think, one of the things that Joe and I were talking about is two guys that you have sort of waited on and they've actually, paid off for you was Rowdy, obviously, Telez, and Aroldis Chapman, who had some scrambling and a little bit of scuffling. Both of those guys have really been sort of in their zone, haven't they, in recent weeks?
Yeah, they really have. I mean, Rowdy, I think is the patience has paid off, and he's really been, he made a great play last night defensively, but offensively he's really steadied and been the guy that we thought he was going to be. He had a tough couple months, and I give him credit because he held fast, he was accountable, and I think the fans appreciate that and realize that, this guy was not good for a while, and he was the first person to say that, and I think that's why they've embraced him as he's gotten back to what we thought he was going to be. And then Chappie, he's been really good over the last two or three weeks, kind of settled in, throwing strikes, going right after people, and that's been really, really important for us at the back end with David and Holderman.
Shelty, there's so much stuff to talk about today. One thing is Joey Bart and how he has emerged here. I think Ben Cherington said the other day that he could be here for a long time. Is he making that case? Not only for that, is he making the case that he could be the guy here for a while?
I think he is making a case for that. And, I think one of the things that we have to realize is, Joey was a very highly touted prospect in San Francisco. And sometimes it takes time. And, we knew he had a really good spring. He's someone we watched through the spring, and then we knew the catching situation with the Giants was going to be they may have an odd man out. But it's one of those things where sometimes it takes a little bit of time. It just doesn't go on the timeline of everybody thinks because you're a prospect you're going to do it. And he's really done a nice job. Offensively, he's been solid. Defensively, he continues to work. I think as we saw the throw last night, he's thrown the ball really well. But, he's really – to your point, he's making a case to be here.
Well, and that's that brings the second part of that question is the longer he continues to make that case, does that make it, I don't want to say easier, but does that make it more of a possibility that you could trade Henry Davis perhaps?
No, I think the thing with Henry is Henry's a part of our future, an important part of our future, and we have to get him right. And very much like in Joey's case, it doesn't happen on the time frame that everybody wants it to happen or expects it to happen. I mean, it's difficult to come to the big leagues and be a very productive player. But I think we're fortunate that we have not only Henry, but we have Indy Rodriguez. Having catching depth is something that's extremely important in the game. And, you're always one foul tip away from something happening. So, in Henry's case, we just need him to continue to get better. But, we feel both he and Indy are a really important part of our future.
It's the Derek Shelton Show here on 93.7 The Fan. Pirates manager, his team has won 9 of 11, making a real playoff push here, maybe even a divisional push here on the Brewers. So, Shelty, I think you addressed this a little bit last night. Gonzalez has 8 game-winning RBIs. There's this idea in baseball, it becomes so numbers-oriented that some people argue there's no such thing as clutch. There's just numbers out there. I got the impression that you disagree and that you think that Gonzalez is a guy who maybe thrives in those situations. Can you talk about that whole issue of clutch?
Yeah, I disagree with the notion, and I think the comment I made last night is like analysts will tell you that it's not a thing. It is a thing. It's just like pitching the ninth inning. There's a different heartbeat that happens when you're doing that, and certain people have it. I honestly don't think it's a thing that can be taught. I think it's a thing that people have innately. They have the ability to slow the game down. They have the ability to not try to do too much. The guy that I used to go to a lot when I was a hitting coach was Garrett Anderson. Remember him from L.A.?
Yeah.
The Angels. I mean, slow heartbeat. This guy could produce RBIs all the time. I think that's important. You know, I think Brian Reynolds has it. Nick Gonzalez has it. They have the ability that they don't try to do too much in those situations. And that's not to say that they're always going to produce in those situations. But when they step to the plate, you know that something productive is going to happen. And Nick has done a really good job with this.
When you've now a pretty large volume. I mean, it's not overly large, but you've got a pretty decent large, decently large size to sort of judge. You know, what do you see from Nick Gonzalez beyond him being able to get these hits late in games? But and you know, what are some of the areas that you still feel like there needs to be growth?
Well, I think defensively he's grown a ton since he's got here. I mean, and if you want to talk analytics or you want to talk metrics, we can prove that. And I give Donnie Kelly and Mindy Lopez, our infield guys, a ton of credit. And Nick, but they've gone out every day and worked on, excuse me, first step, the movements, the angles. And I think we've seen it from the time he got to the big leagues. His angles were not consistent. And now we're seeing more consistent angles. We're seeing him make the turn better than he has. Some of those things, you know, you have to get to the big leagues to be able to figure those things out. I give our coaching group credit. I give Nick credit because of the fact that he has gotten better at those things at the major league level, and he's become a good second baseman.
Shelty, at the risk of implicating this guy again, Destiny's Child pointed out that Key Brian Hayes has no walks this month. He's gotten some hits for sure, but the power is still just missing. And I'm wondering, is he beyond this injury, or what is the issue that you're identifying with Hayes? Because this has just been very frustrating for everybody, including you and him, I'm sure, to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we need Key to get hot. I think that is important. And we saw him get hot last year, and we know that it's in there. I think the biggest thing is just making sure driving the baseball. We saw it in the Chicago series right before the break. He drove some balls in the gap. Just has to get back to him consistently doing that and being on time. I think that's, you know, the focus that we need to make sure that we're talking about and working about on every day.
Is he beyond the injury?
Yeah, I mean, he has a back injury, so it's something that is going to continue to linger. It's just like having a hand injury. For a hitter, it's things that they're going to linger. I mean, he's healthy, but like there's daily management of it. That there's no doubt about that. I think that's, you know, that's something that we're aware of and we have to be aware of in terms of the days he gets and how he feels. But it's not something that is, you know, hindering him, but it is something that's there and it's probably going to be there the rest of the year.
Do you guys, is there some sort of special plan that you'll have to try and get him days off or get him? I mean, do you have to manage him differently because of all that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's going to get the day off today and Triolo's going to play third. And then we play the 12:35 tomorrow and then we have the off day and then we go out west. So it's just management. I mean, it's very similar and no different to the management of Kutch and making sure he gets his days and then kind of the counterbalance of, you know, with Kutch, it comes with Reynolds because we like, you know, Reynolds is not coming out of the lineup, has not come out of the lineup. So the days that Kutch gives, we're able to give Reynolds those DH days. It's just a culmination of everything. I mean, the catching's a little bit different because of, you know, day night and making sure that goes that way. But in that regard, we have to make sure we take care of guys' bodies going into stretches, and we'll continue to do that. And then secondly, like, you know, Tree hasn't played in 7 or 8 days. We got to make sure he gets on the field because it could be a situation that he gets a pinch hit late and we don't need it to be like it's his first at bat in 2 weeks. All those things kind of come into play. So have to be thoughtful of that with the schedule and then with how guys feel.
Shelty, I know Peguero isn't tearing it up at AAA, but I have to believe there's a lot of people who believe that he would be an upgrade on Triolo right now. What's the rationale, given all the struggles, the season-long struggle, really, at the plate, for having Triolo still here?
Well, defensively, he's still elite. I mean, I think that there's no one that can counter that. I mean, he's been elite at second. He's been elite at third. The inconsistency of the at-bats is something that's been, you know, it's been something because Nick has played well. You know, I mean, just quite honestly, Nick has played well. So it's a situation where, you know, we got to make sure we get three at bats to try to get him going. But defensively, he's been so good, and he's so versatile. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, he can play all four infield positions, which gives us the flexibility to make moves during the game.
So is Peguero, has he been a thought for you guys to promote or no?
No, as of now, I mean, we have not thought about changing our offensive, our position player group.
In terms of changing, trade deadline's a week from now. These conversations have been going on and going on, but the fact that you guys have won whatever it is, 9 out of your last 11, and really, really kind of shown that, hey, this is actually a team that you can get to the playoffs probably. And obviously, once you get there with your pitching, you're going to be a real nightmare to deal with. So do you expect that over the next week that Ben will be aggressive working the phones to try and get you a little bit of help for your offense?
I think Ben's being aggressive now. I mean, and like we talked about last week, and I think the phrase I used was it takes two to tango, which it does. I mean, it takes two teams willing to make a deal. I know Ben is actively talking to people. You know, there has to be people available. There has to be the right deal. And then the second and probably more important point is, and you guys highlighted at the beginning, there's so many teams in the race and very close with 62 games left that everybody is looking, and everybody's looking for one thing. They're looking for offense, you know, because offense has been down so much throughout Major League Baseball this season, and that's the challenge. And I think the other challenge we have is there's teams that are going to go down to the wire determining if they're going to buy or sell, and because of that, it makes it more challenging to make a deal. The fact that we haven't seen anything really happen as of now, and I think I even said this last week, it shows that there's a lot of people trying to decide what to do. I think we're going to see a flurry within the game in the last probably 48 hours.
Shelty, it feels like in center field that there's really not a viable everyday option for you right now. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think we're trying to work back and forth. I mean, you know, we've struggled offensively with the guys that have been in that role with Jack and Michael. I mean, the defense is especially with Michael, has been very good. So I think we're trying to mix and match. We played Josh out there the other day, and I think we'll continue to do that. Honestly, we need to get Jack going offensively. I mean, he could be a big part of what we do, and we've seen him do it in the past.
I guess the question, though, becomes how long can you wait? Like with Rowdy, your patience paid off. But with other guys, Connor Joe is another one now who this has been two long months where I think he has like four extra base hits. How long can you be patient?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, and I think we'll be able to probably answer that over the next 10 days and see what happens and, you know, if there's additions to the club. So I think that, you know, over the next 10 days will be a little telling.
Well, not to throw him under the bus yet again, but Destiny's Child has today told us that he believes in your organization that Bubba Chandler is the only untouchable prospect in the entire organization. What are your thoughts on that?
I love it. So Destiny's Child is not only running performance and training for us, but he's also running baseball ops. I mean, this
yeah.
guy can. I mean, you talk about a Swiss Army knife of multi
unbelievable
functionality. Yeah, I mean, I would say we have some players that we value very highly, and you know, but. In that case, Ben will have to make a decision on all the players if they come up within trade conversations.
A lot of people asking us to ask you, when is Borecki coming back?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think Ryan's going to throw again. I think he's scheduled to throw again tonight, and then we'll probably make a decision after that.
And another question we get a lot, and I know we've talked about this, Shelty, a number of times, is the management of Skeens moving ahead. And I think the question that people want answered is this. It's best phrased like this. Can you say that there is a 0% chance that a healthy Paul Skeens would be shut down in September? There's no chance of that.
Yeah, I don't think we have any plans of shutting Paul Skeens down. I mean, I think it's a situation where we do have to monitor. I think, as you guys said, and I mean, we monitored his – his workload coming out of the break. I mean, he's not thrown through the fifth day. We monitored him when he was in Indianapolis early in the season, and a lot of people didn't like that, but we needed him to pitch at the big league level. So I think our plan right now is for Paul to continue to pitch.
Let's get to Perez for a moment. Is it safe to say that maybe tomorrow he's pitching to keep his spot in the rotation?
I would not say that's safe to say. We need Martin to pitch better, obviously. His last couple starts have not been very good. You know, we go back to the one before that. It was 7 1/3. It's good. But we need him to pitch more consistently. Now, that being said, we do have options, you know, with other people that are starters. I mean, Bailey's going to go out and throw on a rehab. You know, we have Priester in our bullpen has been a starter. So the fact that we have options, I think, is important. But we need Martin to pitch well.
Paul, may I ask one more rotational question?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on a roll.
I mean, Ortiz, he's in your rotation now, yes?
Yes, Ortiz is in the rotation. I don't foresee him coming out of the rotation, you know, anytime soon. He's pitched his way into the rotation. He's been one of our most consistent guys. And, you know, and I think this is a really good case. We talk about pitching development. We talk about the critique of at times of how we use guys. You know, I think our pitching program and our pitching group has done a good job. We've made a really good major league starter, and we had to do it through a progression at the major league level this year. And Louis has really done a nice job.
He certainly has. And you know, when you get your full complement of pitchers ready, I mean, do you have in mind some of the guy or one at least one of the guys that's in your starting rotation that could also transition and kind of become a bullpen guy?
Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. You know, I mean, I kind of live in the world that I don't want to get fully there until we know everybody's healthy. So once we get to the point where everybody's healthy, then we can start to make decisions on. But being speculative right now, like just having enough starting pitching depth, especially after the last really 3 or 4 years of not having that much pitching depth, it's something that I'm happy that we have.
Winding down with Derek Shelton on the Derek Shelton Show, I have two quick strategy questions. One worked out incredibly well, one didn't. And the first was the double steal the other night against the Phillies, which was awesome. But I didn't get from the reporting after the game whether that was Taylor on his own instigating that, one of your coaches, or you. How did that come about, Shelty?
you know, so I answered it cryptically and you didn't like it. Basically, is what
yes,
you're telling me.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
I'm probably going to stay right there. I will say that. I will say this. T-Brock does a lot of work. Tark Brock does a lot of work on when we should run, when we should not run. He and I talk about it specifically during the game and before the game, and have it scripted out. And there are times when, you know, I kind of red light him. So other than that, that's probably what I'm going to say.
So the buck stops with you on that then in the end.
100%. Yeah.
Unless Taylor just goes, then nobody can do anything about that. But that didn't happen.
Yes, no.
And then the other decision is 3-0, Key Bryan the other day. It didn't really look like a great pitch to swing at 3-0. I'm assuming he had the green light there. Why?
He did have the green light, yeah, there. And I think you're right. I mean, we got to get a better pitch to swing at. You know, I think in watching that sequence again, it's probably something I would have done differently, you know, because of the fact that the first three sinkers that were thrown were considerably off the plate in. And after watching the replay of that, I didn't realize how far they are in because it's hard from the side to tell in and out. And then he swung at a ball that was probably too far in. So looking back at that, probably would have done that one differently.
Paul, do you have a final question for the manager?
I think we've covered all the ground here.
I guess, Shelty, I do have one last one. It's okay. Just it's got to be a different place to walk into. This might be the high point in terms of clubhouse atmosphere and a feeling that you guys can actually win and get somewhere since you arrived as Pirate manager.
I think that's a fair assessment, and I think you can feel it in the ballpark. I think that's the most important thing. Like, our clubhouse feels it, and I think they've felt it all year long. Even when we were going through games, stretches when we weren't playing well, we were feeling it. But you can feel it in the ballpark. When we walked in the ballpark for that Philly series, there was a different buzz. There was a different feeling. And I give credit to our fans, man, and continue to stay with us, because there's a different feeling when you walk in the ballpark now. And I think our players are feeling that and excited about that, and it's really cool.
And Skeens on the mound tonight. It's not like the excitement's going to stop. It should be fun to watch. Good luck, Shelty. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
All right. Paul, that was interesting.
Yes, very
on many fronts, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought he did a pretty good job of like answering a lot of questions.
Here's the thing I like about Shelty.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And, you know, you have I know a faction of fans out there who, you know, anytime you compliment the manager or the GM, you're somehow betraying your journalistic values or some crap like that. He's done a good job, first of all.
Right.
They're in playoff position in spite of a lot of adversity this season. And I don't agree with everything he does. I thought the Key Brian Hayes thing the other day was outrageous. But he just admitted it. I liked that
right.
in a guy.
Right.
In a coach or manager, when he does something, and it's happened a number of times this season, he comes right out and says, yeah, you know what? As I look back on that, I shouldn't have done it. I appreciate that. And if I were a fan, I'd appreciate that. I'm trying to think, weren't there some other examples? I know there were. I just can't think of what they were, where he has said, if I could do that over again, I wouldn't do it. And there's been at least two or three examples. And this is the latest one with Key Brian Hayes. I appreciate that, Paul.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The other thing is that, and this is why I laugh when these people say, oh, well, you're not going to ask tough questions, or what did the guy ask in your mailbag? Something about, oh, well, you're afraid he won't come on your show or something like that. You know what I mean? You can ask him whatever you want to ask him. He doesn't he doesn't get angry at you and doesn't, he just answers it.
I mean, there are a couple of highly questionable personnel situations happening. I don't know whether any other way to ask it other than, why is Jared Triolo still here? Which is pretty much verbatim what I asked in a respectful way.
Exactly.
He said because of his elite defense. All right. That's what they think. We get to agree or disagree. I asked, or opined that I don't think they have a viable everyday center fielder right now. Does he? And he basically said, I don't either. I mean, he said, we're trying.
Right.
But he also said last week, we need a bat. And I would imagine that's the spot, you know, center or whatever, outfielder with a bat, or even a DH
and
with a bat.
And that's just it. I think one of the biggest things with that is, like, he's obviously has to face these guys in the clubhouse. You know what I mean? So he's not going to throw his players under the bus.
One thing I do wish he had said, though, was that Perez is pitching for a spot in the rotation tomorrow. I mentioned yesterday, you know, it's time.
But again, it's time
to get your team on the floor, right?
But again, I think one of the things with that is he is he's got to face these guys every day.
Yeah.
So he's got to basically try and finesse his answers. He can't just come out and say Sawinski stinks and this guy stinks and, you know, I don't even think that he can come out really and say, yeah, we need to go get a center fielder in the trade, because, you know, he's got, but his answers, if you listen to what he's saying, he's essentially saying that. He agrees. He doesn't, but in other words, he isn't pushing back on the idea that we need help for our offense.
Right. You know what I mean? And specifically there. Our Shelton Show reaction brought to you by Bet365. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And I don't know about you guys, but the most notable thing that was said that whole time to me was about Joey Bart, because I was very careful with the way I phrased the question, Paul, which was, if this guy is this guy staking a claim to be the guy, not stick with the Pirates or, you know, be in the majors, is he making a claim right now to be your catcher moving forward? And Shelty said yes. He said yes to that question.
Right.
We'll replay the question and answer next. But Joey Bart's become one of the biggest stories of the season.
But the flip side of that is, in the next breath, he said, well, Henry Davis is our future.
A big part of our future. You know,
yeah.
And Andy Rodriguez.
And Andy. So something's got to give here moving forward.
But that's my point.
Someone's going to play a different position.
My point is he can't. He's got to keep Henry Davis because the bottom line is, if he says, yeah, Henry Davis is done, he stinks, he's cooked, he can't help us at all.
Right. Well, he's never going to say that, but in so many words.
His trade value goes way down if they were going to try and trade him. But B, you know, it becomes, you know, we probably put a little headline on that, and it becomes a story that becomes viral. And if Henry Davis doesn't read the news, someone in his family does. And
And Henry Davis might see a headline coming out, City Limits. Shelton, Joey Bart could be our future at catcher. That's exactly what he said.
And it's something that Charrington also uttered over the weekend. And the growing sentiment that continues to be made for Joey Bart to be a future of this team. And he's earned it.
Let's play that question and answer next as we go over a lot of what Shelton said. And you, we invite you into the show, your impressions of what Shelton said on any one of those topics. Key Brian Hayes is just gigantic. That was the other most notable thing, Paul, was he essentially said, he didn't say he's still injured necessarily, but he said that's still some, well, he kind of did almost in a way, at least that he's still dealing with the effects of that injury by day-to-day management. And then you asked him, is this something you're going to manage by giving him days? And he said yes. Did he say he's not playing tonight or tomorrow? Which one? Limits.
Who? Hayes?
Yeah.
Hayes is not playing today.
I think he said today.
There you go. He answered Paul's question by saying they're going to manage. I mean, if Key Brian Hayes was lighting it up right now as a healthy borderline star third baseman, he doesn't sit Skeens night against the Cardinals. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Something's happening there.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, you can watch him swing. It doesn't look like he's got a ton of oomph in his swing right now, which would probably suggest that his back is indeed still bothering him.
Let's listen to some of that next and your impressions for all of it at 928-9370. It's 12:33. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. Top of the hour, Pat Narduzzi has opened his mouth again and said something very interesting regarding Penn State. I feel like we've been over that a few times in the past, and God bless him. I wouldn't have him any other way than saying exactly what's on his mind, and I think I may agree with this one.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.